continue on in our study as we are looking at church and leadership. Just a reminder, at the moment we're just skimming over. It's more of an introductory than anything, and then we'll hopefully over a few weeks, we're not going to spend too many weeks, but over a few weeks we'll be going into some more detail. We want to understand what leadership is, what leadership is authorised in the Bible, what God expects of his church, what we need to do as Christians to grow and develop ourselves so that we meet the things that God wants, our Lord wants in place. Just a reminder then, last week we started off with our passage taken from Ephesians 4 verse 10 through 11. You recall we talked about he who descended is also the one who ascended. So if you remember, we're talking about the authority. Anything that's in place needs the authority to put it into place. That is the authority. That is the authority. And if you remember, we looked at, and he himself gave. And if you remember, we looked at the word gave meaning set in place. So it wasn't just a case of handing things out, but it was our Lord had set in place. So he had specifically set this up through his authority. And so, as we see there, and he himself set in place or gave some. And then we looked at the apostles and prophets, which were the first two. And we looked at, remember, we're only skimming over these at the moment. Also evangelists, to get an idea of that situation there. And then the next part of this introduction, we come to pastors and teachers. So again, remember, this is just skimming over. We've got a lot of passages we're going to look at, a lot of things that we're going to study on these issues, but just want to get an idea first of all, to get a clearer picture to what the study is referring to. So in Acts 20 and verse 17, if somebody wants to read that.
From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus as court for the elders of the church.
Okay, thank you. And also, if somebody would read Acts 20, verse 28.
Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood.
Okay, thank you. So just there alone, there for us. Our teachers have specified in the past, leading on from what has already been taken. It says, take heed. Take heed to who? To yourselves and to all the flock. He's talking to the elders and also with reference to the people. Take heed of yourselves and also to the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. You know, these roles, and we're going to look at this, whether it doesn't matter whether it's evangelist or minister or elders or deacons or whatever the role, these roles are not self-appointed roles. These roles are put in place in a certain way, in accordance with God's will. And so, first of all, a person qualifies for that, and we'll see how that happens. And secondly, they're put in place through being appointed. And we'll look at that in more detail. So he says, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And then, as we look in our passage, again there, referring to those different roles. Now, if you notice back in the passage, it says pastors and teachers. So we've got apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. Okay, so it's not contradicting an evangelist. The pastors and teachers is linked to the same thing in reference to the context of what we're looking at. So pastor and teacher in this is not two separate categories. It's not saying, okay, we're going to have the apostles and prophets, we're going to have the evangelists, we're going to have pastors, and we're going to have teachers. And you know what it's referring to is talking about the two connected, and we'll look into that shortly. But But all these things, and certainly when we look at things like pastor, elder, bishop, overseer, all these describe the very same person with reference to the elder or the shepherd of the church. A deacon is a different role, a minister is a different role. The saints, the Christians, again, everybody has a part to play, and we're going to be looking at that. The person does his work with reference to an elder or a shepherd, or does his work by teaching. In Ephesians, regarding all the words, they meet to the same person, though. So, for example, a pastor is a shepherd. So if you picture a shepherd in a field with a flock and you see the nature of that shepherd, you know, the shepherd is the one with his eye open all the time. He's the one that will sit near the doorway, near the gate. The shepherd is the one that will be looking around for sheep that may be weak and need tending to. The shepherd will be the one that will count and see if there's anything missing. The bishop, sometimes you see the word bishop, sometimes that is also used as overseer. This describes his responsibility, because he oversees his people, the people, God's people. So, and then an elder refers to, now, of course, elder in older brings experience, and it also brings, you know, somebody that's had a lot of experience through life. But elder also refers to maturity. So you could have not so old a person with a lot of maturity who's gone through many processes through his life and he's experienced things. So he might not necessarily be a real old man, though you have to use wisdom when we're looking at eldership. And we're going to look at this in our when we look in the study properly, because as we break down these roles. But all these passages refer to the same person. So listen, I am not a pastor. I'm not the pastor of this congregation. I'm not a pastor. I'm not an elder. I'm not the bishop or anything like that. I'm an evangelist. I'm a minister that we looked at last week. And that is why it's so important that we get these things, you know, in place. Now, for an example, I am a son of my parents. Brenda and Peter Hill are my parents. I'm their son. I'm a husband to my wife, Janet. I'm a father to my seven children, all of my children. A grandfather to my grandchildren. I am an uncle to my nephews and nieces, to my brothers and sisters, who I am a brother to. Also to their children, I am an uncle to. I am a brother in Christ in his congregation. I'm a minister. All of these things describe myself. And I can give, you can give a description for yourself in the same way. You can go through a list of things that you do and the background. So all the characteristics that we read in the Bible with reference to an elder, whether it's an elder, an overseer, a bishop, whatever these roles are, all of these roles refer to the same person. And so this is the point. An elder is about characteristics. It's about characteristics. You can be a teacher without being an elder. So there might be somebody who teaches, but he's not an elder. They may be able to teach and share the gospel as saints. But you cannot be an elder without being a teacher. Because eldership relies upon the ability to teach. The ability to be able to find your way through scripture. Now, an elder doesn't have to have photographic memory and have all the passages in their heads and just rattle them off. And, you know, we're not looking for God's not looking for that. But an elder needs to know where to find things. An elder is the one that could go up to a marital issue and be able to share passages that guide these people. The elder might be able to go and share with someone who's falling away and bring them back through scripture. And so in order to do that, you need the ability to be able to find your way through the scripture. And so one of the things we're going to look at about an elder is an elder. You know, I would encourage, and I know many of our brothers do this now, and sisters as well, but I would encourage, you know, study hard. You know, look at things that may come into to damage the church, and how do you deal with these things, and also passages that guide us through, you know, being able to shepherd over people. So being able to teach is a characteristic, and so that is why it says there, pastors and teachers combined, the two, the pastors and teachers, the shepherd, is part of that group thing, whilst at the same time teaching falls into the category of a minister or even the saints in the church, because you teach people what you know and what God has shared with you. We looked last week, referred to the fact that apostles are not possible today, because an apostle, if you remember, was one who witnessed, one who was there, one who, Jesus' death, Jesus' burial, Jesus' baptism, and we looked at the passages relating to that, so it's not possible today. There are no eyewitnesses alive. At the same time, the prophets, if you remember, we talked about the prophets being the physical Bible. They were the spokespeople for God. Even back in the Old Testament, we saw how the prophets anointed. The kings, we're looking at kings at the moment, or the prophets were voices for God. God spoke through the prophets. That's how he did. He was talking. And so the apostles and the prophets are no longer required today, because that which is perfect, which is through Jesus and through the Holy Word, of course, the Word of God, it covers that role. However, in our list still, there are still things that aren't. So these aren't mistakes here. These aren't things referenced to, well, because they're there and they're in the New Covenant, they're still valid. What it is when we look at the context of the scriptures and we look at the Bible explains then that these things cease to be. But however, when we're looking there, the ministers and the eldership are very much alive and active. And so it's not a contradiction. God has not made a mistake here, but these things, some of those things were there for a time to prepare the church. And so when they hadn't had the scripture, God had to speak to his people. And of course, we saw the apostles who were the eyewitnesses. And of course, at that time, they performed miracles. There were lots of things that they did to enable people to see that they were speaking through a kind of authority or show to the people that God is involved in this. And so the word of God covers those roles. Now, there's another role, and again we're going to talk about it. In this passage here, we don't see deacons. We don't see deacons in there at all. But deacons is a role. Is there a responsibility? We do have a role in place that is biblical. And let's look into the next passage.
Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not giving too much wine, not waiting for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience.
Okay, thank you. So this is another authoritative role, or a role that has been put in place by our Saviour for his church, his deacons. And as we study these over the weeks, and as I say, you're going to probably have a lot of questions right now, but we'll unravel them, I promise you. As we go through this study, it'll all start to take shape, and we'll begin to see the importance of these things. So right now, just as we skim over, deacon is a kind of a servant. Now, if you've got an elder, and you've got a deacon, and you're having a gospel meeting, and The place is full of visitors, and it's full of people with problems and going through things, and the elder takes himself off into the kitchen and starts preparing the meal. Well, that would take the elder away from the role that he has. The role of the elder is the shepherd. So, as I mentioned last week, the elder is not responsible for the church boiler. The elder is not responsible for the radiators. The elder is not responsible for the lighting and the gas bills and the electric bills and even the church accounts. The elder is the spiritual leader. His role is to oversee and protect the spiritual well-being of the church. The deacons, they are people who have the tasks of taking care of the other tasks that we are looking at now. The role of a deacon is not the bottom of a pile. And the eldership is not the top of the pile. These roles that are in place are not there in strategy of power and control. These things are our Saviour in wisdom organising his church. So don't feel the role of a deacon is the bottom of the pile. In fact, the deacons are critical to the church, and they're used, let me tell you, in connection with Jesus Christ himself.
Now I see that Jesus Christ has become servants to the circumcision of the truth of God, to confirm the promises made to the fathers.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Jesus Christ has become a servant. Of course, to the circumcision, for the truth of God. And what did he do to confirm the promise made to the fathers in the past, in the old covenant, and all the things that were to be fulfilled? So Jesus in here is even identified in that way. To be a deacon is a blessing. And at the same time, listen, there are members who Christian in the congregation that are functioning and involved in a lot of things going on. These things are critical. These things are critical. You know, when we come in here on a Sunday morning, I can tell you that there are brethren that have already been in and set the communion. He's there ready for service. I might have to do it. Or you know, other people involved in other things I might have to do it. Well, somebody has done that. That is serving. Deacons in the church, of course, deal with things like benevolence, maintenance. Deacons are in place today in the church. The apostles cease through Jesus and through Scripture. The prophets cease because we have the Holy Word of God. Preachers, evangelists are in place, ministers, elders, deacons, and saints, the church members. It's all about organisation. We have, you know, we've had a slight look at these roles, and in the weeks, as I said, we're going to be looking at them deeper, and we'll answer questions you know that you may have. You know, what makes an elder? Let me tell you what I've discovered through studying is that quite often the reason we don't have elders is because we make it almost impossible. We're afraid. You know, we scrutinise things to the point where we almost make it that we can't have an elder. Because you know, we're looking into it in a way that makes it almost something that's beyond achievement. And that is something that we will hopefully be able to address. At the same time, we do not undervalue the importance and, of course, what God has set in place, what the Lord has set in place, it's written in the inspired word, that is our guide. That is our root. That is how we define it. And that's why we're having these studies. And so we've had a slide look at these roles. Roles, we're going to look at roles. We're going to look at qualifications. We're going to look at the purpose. And then we're going to look at how to achieve these things as well. Now, we looked at the elder, the preacher, we skimmed over the elder, the preacher, and the member. there's something between these. First of all, I want to say this, why pursue these roles? I think I mentioned last week, I've heard congregations, I've not heard it here, but I have heard it in congregations that said we're doing okay without elders or deacons or even preachers. We're ticking along nicely. We don't need them. You know, we're okay. We're doing fine. I've heard of people, I heard of a preacher once that came to me and he said, we was having a discussion and he says that we're looking at eldership at the moment. I'm a bit nervous if we get elders. I'm worried what that is. And I'm thinking that is a crazy thing to say, especially for a preacher or minister. You should be bringing on elders and deacons. That is your role and task. You should be praying for that every day. I know it's on my prayer list every day. Every day. Why pursue these roles? In fact, you know, people say we're doing okay. We're all right. And let me tell you that this study will show you that this is not God's view. It will also show you that you know, when his church, the Lord's church, is established and there is a way in which he wants to protect the flock and his people. And so scripturally, I believe it's wrong to think that these roles are not required because they're being called for. In fact, I would say it's almost an insult to God to say that these things are not required. So, just as an example, you go into work tomorrow and you say to your director, listen, sir, I've had a look at your business and I think you don't need any of these roles because everybody can just come along and do their own thing and we'll be fine. And in fact, you'll find that you end up unofficially appointing people doing roles. I know congregations where they've never had elders, and so what happens is you find people who aren't suited to do certain things doing them, and doing more damage. And it's almost like an unofficial appointing. It's like it's setting people to take on eldership roles who aren't elders. And so it's just as an example, you know, things to think about as we're going through our study. Okay, so let's look in the next passage.
Well, Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles, Lord gives over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for men.
Okay, thank you, brother. Okay, just something else. This is going to come out in our studies as we look at these subjects, but I want you to notice something. Power and status is not what separates these roles. Power and status. It's not about power and authority at all. You know, the church is a body. The hand is not more important than the foot, and each member has a place to serve within the church, within your capacity of what God has blessed you with. And whatever your gift is, whatever your role is, the Lord wants to use that. And that does not make you less of a value to our Lord than anybody else. And so that is why in our passage here, as you can see the example when he says, when Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles, lord it over them. And their great ones exercise authority over them, yet it shall not be so amongst you. There's the message that's kind of brought across there. Each member has a place to serve. But there are specific tasks that are in place, and there are measures in which we make sure that those tasks are fulfilled with the right people. And so that's important. And so again, as we look in our passage there in Ephesians 4, God gave certain roles and gifts for people to fill. And the purpose of that, as we looked in our passage in Ephesians, was to bring, you remember what we looked at? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And remember, at the start of the passage, he talks about the authority by which this was set in place. And so the authority sets it in place, as we see that he gave. So he set in place. And then we see the purpose to which these roles have been brought into place. So God gave these roles as gifts for people to fill, to bring the church to maturity to Christ. Christ gave gifts and roles to equip the body. Not everyone is suited to the pulpit. Not everybody is will be an elder. Not everybody, we all have different tasks. And it's important to know that. I'll give you an example, the doorman. You know, one of the most important jobs, the responsibilities, and all the roles are responsible. But listen, the doorman is a tremendous responsibility. And so the doorman wouldn't be the guy that's the last to arrive on a Sunday. The doorman would be the first to arrive on a Sunday. The doorman would be the one you would rely upon to know that they would be there, because that is their gift. That is the talent that they have been given. So these gifts and roles are to equip, but not everyone is suited to the same roles. The difference is between the roles of the minister, the deacon, the elders, the members. The difference, just because a member doesn't qualify for the above, they still qualify as the body and as part of the ministry. And so whatever gift you have, it's as important as every other responsibility within the church. So being a saint, being a Christian, is a responsibility in itself. And so you have a part to play. And as I say, again, as we go through this study, you'll see this. Remember, if these roles were not required, then why would the Holy Spirit put it in his written word? You know, why would it be called upon? Why did the Apostle Paul take it so seriously with reference to these roles? And so we would all be the same. There'd be no distinction. Everything would be the same, because everybody would just be doing whatever they feel. Sometimes one of the hardest sins is to go up to somebody and say, listen, that isn't your gift. You know, it might be something you want to do, but certainly at that time maybe it's not your gift, but it doesn't mean you can't aspire to it and move to it. Now, this is the difference. Responsibility. Responsibility is the difference. We've said that the roles don't represent power. They represent levels of responsibility. And so this congregation is growing over the years from when we began. When we first started, there was just a few in a lot, in a small photograph. Just 9 people in a little lot. And the congregation is growing. And so therefore, it needs to be organized. It needs to be controlled. And it needs to be have things in place to protect. And these things are done in accordance with the will of God. So how it works is that the Bible lays down how we can protect. Or how, let me rephrase that, it tells you how Christ can protect his people through his authority, through the roles that he are set in place. All are called to serve. Every one of us. An elder, called to serve. Deacon, called to serve. Evangelist, called to serve. Christians, brethren, saints, as I say, called to serve. Every single one of us has a responsibility. When you look at this, my goodness me, listen, if we can get this right, we are going to be infallible. I'll tell you, we'll turn this city upside down. You know, we won't be losing people. you know, we'll be staying strong and steadfast with shepherds calling us out. I recall when I was studying at the Bible school for those years that I was there in Corby at that time, my goodness, them elders, they were on you, they were watching you, you know, they were there and ready. And there were other people with other gifts and talents and all these things coming together to see that the strength of the body comes through the way that these things are organised. So some are called to direct service, serving in certain capacities. These roles are not just for Sunday morning. An elder's job is not to just show up Sunday morning and do his bit and then go home and get on with his week and then next Sunday put his elder suit back on and come back on. This is a big responsibility. And we're going to look at this in the study. Because these people, the servants, the elders, the deacons, whatever these roles are, these are roles that need to be thought and prayed about carefully. These are big responsibilities. Because you are shepherding over God's people. And that doesn't take just a Sunday morning to do. You know, we'll look at that as we study. In Acts 6 verse 3, the apostle had the church select qualified men to take care of the poor people. Just as an example there, we can just take a quick look at that.
Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, for we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word."
Okay, so that is an example that I want to use. As I say, at the moment, because we're covering everything, we're a bit here, there, and everywhere, but we'll bring it together. We'll notice this. Now, here we don't see people showing power and authority and saying we're superior. You know, I'm not going to clean tables or serve at tables. I'm bigger than that. That is not what this is about. It says the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." In other words, we have a responsibility already. We have a responsibility that we need to be doing. If we are doing other things, then we will be neglecting the responsibility that we have. And so what does he say? That we should what? It's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, church or brethren, now notice this, and we're going to come into this in our study over the week. Seek out from among you 7 men. Seek the church. Seek out from among you. Seek these men. This isn't them saying you, and you. We're in charge. We're going to tell you how this is done. We've already done. You see the involvement of the church. That is why these studies for ourselves as a body is so important. Seek out from among yourselves. You see, when we are looking for elders and deacons in this congregation, we, brethren, are all going to play a part in that. And we'll see that in our studies. This isn't just something that's going to be done for you. You'll play a part in this. And that is why each and every one of us needs to know our roles. Wives need to know the roles for the husbands, and husbands need to know the roles for the wives and the children and the families and also the church as a whole. You know, how do you identify? What if we said, "Okay, brethren, I want you to seek out..." We won't even know what we're looking for until we study it. We won't even know what to look for. And so we could end up appointing people that aren't right for the role. And they unintentionally, because they don't know what either, may then take on the role. And before you know it, you're worse off. And so that's important, and you'll see this coming up. So first of all, they're not showing themselves to be unworthy of such a task. They recognise the importance of the task of serving at the tables, but they're saying you need to seek them out yourself, 7 men of good reputation. So there's a standard. There's a standard in place here, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. There. So then they appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And so therefore, the idea is these were like deacons given a task and special responsibilities, and they were recognized because of the abilities that they had. And so the differences of all the roles is this: it's the task that is given. You need the right person for the right tasks, whether it is elder, deacon, or whatever these responsibilities are. So a farmer wouldn't go and put an advert in his local paper for someone to come and take care of his sheep, and the guy comes along and he says, "What's your background?" And he says, "Well, I'm in engineering." "You're in. You'll look after my sheep." And of course, it doesn't make sense. And so it's finding the right people with the abilities. But not only that, it's also nurturing who we have already. Because it may be that we don't have the right people in place, but we can teach and develop and grow. Somebody might say, I'm looking through these passages, and these passages, I'm nothing like that. But you can be, if you have that desire to see these things. So all are called, all of these responsibilities are called to share their faith in the normal course of lives. However, there are responsibilities given. And listen, all Christians are called to spread their faith. The commission, we're all called to spread our faith. God wants you, the Lord wants you to use your gifts. And you may spread your faith by inviting somebody into your home and feeding them, and then just telling them why you're a Christian. Because they're probably going to say, "Why are you doing this for me?" And you say, "Well, I'm a Christian, my Lord has given his life for me." There are different gifts and talents. But within the structure of the church, of course, there are things that are in place. So all Christians are called in this way, but not all Christians are called to be evangelists. Not all Christians are called to be elders and teachers, of course. Not all are called for every task. It's like the body. If we've only got an arm, if we're just everybody's an arm, then we're a bit limited, So we'll see this as we come through the study over the next few weeks. Let me just share just a couple of passages. We'll read this one.
"Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing."
Okay. These tasks are tasks that we all are a part of, and we're all able to be involved with. The maturer people within the church will help develop and bring others on. But we all have the same goals in reference to our role as a Christian. But then the structure of the church, which we're going to look at, the responsibilities that we need in the church, are the things that we're going to address. And so, just look at this real quickly as well. We just want to look into this is here. When you look at this passage here, this is what the Bible tells the leaders.
"Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, for willingly, not for dishonest gain, for eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock."
Okay, so these are the kind of things that we're going to consider. To be an elder, you need to desire that. It needs to be something that you desire after. When you look at the passage, it's talking shepherd the flock. You're going to be the one in the field protecting the flock. You're going to be the one at the gate. You're going to be the one dealing with the oppositions and the problems and those kind of things. So he says, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as an overseer. So there's the authority. Remember, we talk about being an overseer. Yes, brother, go ahead.
Thank you,
Thank you.
Yeah, I want you to put some things into condition
probably the next classes. I don't want to talk about the authority to state here.
Which one, sorry?
Authority to state here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number one is just the last one you mentioned, is desire. Someone will not be called on the position or desire it, the church can help him through. First and foremost, I will that I gave or desire that this position or this role, I want it or not, which might not be forced on somebody. Then two, we got to contact the congregation we have, or probably any congregation that are looking for leadership or leadership in the environment. What type of congregation are we? The congregation we call them a mobile congregation. Mobile says that there are people who are not starting there, it's not like a native land congregation. People come and go, we call them mobile congregation. Or probably the primary where there are more students in that area, when they finish, they go. It will happen now. So,
yeah.
If you want to say, I want to have a leadership there, and I come here that year to be, and next day I go, I know when there's two, and that is only one.
Yeah.
By the time one of them leave, become one, they have to dismantle the leadership. So, you have to put down to condition two. Then, third one is about the simple effect chapter 4.
Sorry, which passage?
It's a simple one.
Yeah.
It's chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. If that word is said, it's the same word. So, my understanding, there are two different things there. We talk about a pastor and a teacher.
Okay.
It's not the same role. Inside the pastor, inside ministers, teachings is inside them. They all must be teachable. They must be able to teach. Then from there, we have the teacher on his own. Because we can't have a preacher alone and enter the commission where the other men are not teachers.
Yeah.
So what they do? The book of 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 2 says what? He assigned Timothy to teach able men so that they can be able to be teachable, can be able to teach others. So I think that teacher there is when you use that word and is a joint word, a connection word that agrees together with what he has seen from our power. Or in my own profession now, we call it a pulling operation. It's a connector. That what we are saying from being a prophet, pastor, teachers, all of them, they are the same thing. They are positive, not negativity.
No. No, that's wrong.
So that I'm saying that teacher, to my understanding from what we read there, is not to get down with, it's not in one way with the pastors and the teacher.
Okay.
They are two separate roles. They are two separate roles. Pastor has as a pastor, from if you look at first chapter 3 downward, he showed them that the characteristics, the quality they must have, they must be teachable. So part of their role is a teacher. Then we also have a teacher also within ourselves that they can teach. If you go to the reader of the Bible clearly in first chapter, he said, even when we have a question, they should go back to their home and ask their husband, which is able to teach them what they don't know. So that's the area I'm looking into, if there's a way we can look into that area. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem at all. Yeah, so what I'll do when I'm teaching is I'm going to explain, I'll show you why I see that there. So, as I said earlier, you can be a teacher without being an elder. Well, you cannot be an elder without being a teacher. And so with reference to the context of the passage, what he's referring to, I'm not separating the two and saying there's no such thing as a teacher. Of course, our ladies teach our children passage. And we'll look at all that and I'll explain it. I made a note of those and they will come up in the study for sure. And I will clarify that to show you why I see that the way that it is and the way that it's being taught. So it's with reference to the context of the passage that we're looking at. What I'm not saying is I'm not saying that there are two different, but I'm saying in the context of this, when he mentions pastor and teacher, he's referring to the combination of the two. But I'll show you, we'll look at it and certainly address that. And if I'm wrong, I'll acknowledge that as well. So we'll make sure that we get that off.
Okay,
thank you for that. Appreciate it. Okay, everybody. ticking along. And well, as I say, at the moment it's a little bit skimmed over, it's a little bit here and there, but when we break it down, we're going to look at the roles individually. I want you to understand them. I don't want to stand here and say, you know, I don't want to just spell something out and just say, here's something for you to take. I want us to get this, because this is important, because we need it here. This is something that is required of this congregation. So something that we want to be striving to and seeking. And I don't know when. I don't know what God's plan is. I don't know who he's going to bring. I don't know how he's going to bring us on, but he will. There's no question about that. So, yeah, we'll definitely address it. Okay, thank you. George, would you just close our time in prayer? Okay.